And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all talk about this show. This show, it goes... Y'all from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to now what we call once again Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches in North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and live streaming the show. Live streaming. Looking in on the studio. Live streaming from places like X and YouTube and Rumble and Facebook. And our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then you podcasters who catch it after the fact, too. Listen, bottom line is wherever you catch the show, whenever you catch the show, thank you very much for catching the show. It means the world to us that you're there. You're the only reason why we do what we do. So thank you very much. So I had a very cool thing happen today. It's interesting that I'm talking about Afghanistan with the Abbey Gate situation, which I'm going to dive into my dipper here in a minute. But out of the blue, so y'all have heard me say I'm a veteran of Afghanistan myself. I was there at the beginning of the war on a small team out in the middle of nowhere. It was my civil affairs team and a special forces team, and we were it. And we lived among the Afghan people together for the better part of a year. Well, that's been a while. That's been a hot minute. And out of the blue, the special forces team leader that I was with, his name's Don. Don texted me this just like 2 days ago and said, "Hey, Phil, don't you live in the Gadsden area?" I said, "Don, I do. Where are you?" And he said, "He's in Tennessee, and he was coming down this way. Wondered if he could stop in." We spent an hour and a half this morning just shooting the breeze, catching up with each other, and just loving the fact that we had reconnected. So, you know, there's something about guys you served with, especially just in the crucible, I guess, it makes it different. We hadn't seen each other in, a lot of years. And just kind of picked up where we left off. Just thoroughly enjoyed it. But anyway, just a blessing. A lot to be said for having guys you serve with and then popping in on each other when you can. Let me get a few text messages. Roger from Madison says, "Duty, honor, country. Have these words tattooed on my right arm." Outstanding. Good to hear, man. Adam from Athens says, "Great monologue, Phil. Also, Dale Jackson challenged you to the JFK Jr. physical fitness test this morning. I say you can take him." I say I can take him. I also noticed that Dale didn't challenge me personally. That's just, a thing. I'm just saying. He just sent Adam as a proxy, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. By the way, speaking of that challenge, the 100 push-up, 50 pull-up challenge, I saw something about, New York Times saying, "Scientists are warning you not to take place in this dangerous."
This could be dangerous.
It's like, wait a second. You're telling me that exercise is hard? That's mind-blowing revelation. Yeah.
You know what, though? I feel certain that the article was written by somebody who couldn't do the challenge.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, are we talking about the one that said, was it 100 push-ups and 50 pull-ups within 10 minutes?
Yes. That, which, by the way, is very hard. I mean, our RFK and Pete Hegseth did it in like 5 or 6 minutes. That's incredible. And RFK did it in jeans too, by the way, blue jeans.
Yeah, he always has it in jeans. So I don't. I haven't done pull-ups in forever. I can't tell you when. I mean, push-ups I do all the time. And like I'll do my sets. I'll do a set of 50, then I'll do a set of 35, then I'll do a set of 30, then I'll do it. And so I could knock out 100 push-ups in a few minutes, but.
The 50 pull-ups is hard.
Pull-ups, man. That's a thing.
Especially the taller and bigger you are, the harder it is to, it's...
There's a lot of me to pull up.
It's not easy,
I'm 6'2", 220. Dadgummit. Comes in handy sometimes.
Yeah.
But not when you're doing pull-ups.
Yeah, not doing pull-ups.
Clint from Tony says, "Phil, the downright anti-American antics of the previous administration, like COVID, I fear will have ripple effects for our country far into the future." Clint, I agree, man. Listen, I think that pretty much daily, the Trump administration is dealing with some things that are new and going forward, but also I think a lot of it is just fixing what the Biden administration was breaking and trying to put it back on track. John from Harvest says, "Phil, good monologue. The incompetent pullout of a Bagram still pisses me off," he says. "We should have kept Bagram as a strategic presence in the region." I completely agree. I mean, look at Germany, look at Italy, look at Japan, look at South Korea. You know, we tend to wind up setting up favorable basing opportunities. And by the way, we don't stay there for free. We pay rent. I think the only one that we may have claimed that we're just still using of our own is Guantanamo Bay. I could be wrong. But my understanding is we tend to be like major contributors to the local economy when we set up a base in a country at which we are formally at war, and we're still there. And being in Europe is a good thing right now. And being in Japan is a good thing right now. That forward presence on the world stage. Well, Biden, when he was pulling out of Bagram, he did it in the dark of night, by the way. Literally. Like the Afghan National Army force that was there woke up to find out the Americans had left during the night and left them alone, and they were shocked. They had no word that was going to happen. I understand OPSEC. I understand not giving away some information, but you know what? At some point, you also recognize you do have allies, and all you did was just leave them this sense that you didn't care in the first place. It was just weird. Pulled out in the dark of night and left Bagram, which is defendable, which is filled with infrastructure that we built. God, when I got to Bagram in the beginning of the war, it was nothing but tent city and moon dust. That's all it was. And there was an old Soviet airstrip that we were using. And we built that place. We built hard stands. We built, you know, everything from, I mean, we were just short of having a golf course. I mean, the place was robust. And it had walls all the way around it. It had guard shacks and you know, overwatch positions. It had clear fields of fire outside the wire. And what'd they do? They shut it down, and they made what remaining troops were there, who were too small to then guard Bagram, to have to go into Kabul in the middle of a massive populated city into an urban airport that was not set up for defense and do the best they could. And it was a complete debacle. Oh, you're not just getting me started. I mean, it's a whole dipper. I'm going to be doing this for a little while. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, did you hear that Donald Trump says he wants the old Cracker Barrel logo back? By the way, JP, did you hear that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift announced their engagement? Are you a Swiftie?
No. And how could I miss it? If I saw one more post about it, I was going to gouge my eyeballs at it. I couldn't not miss it.
Just poke me in the eye with a sharp stick.
It's everywhere. It's very annoying.
Yeah. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, all the Swifties are talking. Oh my gosh. TL from Huntsville says, what? He says, are they out? Are we having trouble with our VNN station?
They am, yeah.
All right, Huntsville Station, we're checking on it. Thanks, TL, appreciate it. John from Rossville, Georgia says, Colonel Phil, I was 4F having failed two physicals. Man, I'm sorry. He said, so I can't identify with your excellent military service. Well, okay, thank you, sir, but listen. Anyway, he said, shouldn't we be calling the Afghanistan withdrawal actually a surrender? Weren't the troops ordered to throw down their arms and run away? What would you call it? And are those responsible not eligible for some type of court-martial? Your thoughts are heard by many here in North Georgia. John from Rossville. John, thank you so much. So, was it a retreat? No. It in some ways, it felt like it. But the reality was it was just a bungled operation. It defied all of the standards for successful military defense. It just did. There was no force protection. There was not a patch of ground we were trying to preserve. They had the inability to prevent loss of life. They did not have clear fields of fire. The rules of engagement were muddled. Everything about it was just jacked up. Jacked up like a jack's hind leg. So what it basically means is there should have been people court-martialed, at the very least relieved. Absolutely. But the troops didn't retreat. Marcus from Huntsville. I mean, the texts are going crazy today. Marcus from Huntsville says, this is awesome. You recently linked up with an old battle buddy. He said, a few weeks ago, an old platoon sergeant of mine that moved to Athens reached out, and we had lunch in downtown Huntsville. That was the first time we'd seen each other in, I believe, 18 years. Yeah, you know what? So Don and I saw each other briefly, I think when I was at the Pentagon in 2009, but even then, that means that's the only time we've seen each other since 2002 when we served together in Afghanistan. Still, very cool. David Bucky says, Phil, Dale's challenge to you was against Yaffe. Dale's challenge was against you and Yaffe.
You against Yaffe.
Dale's challenge was you against Yaffe. Mm. Is that what he says?
I guess so. We may have to live stream this.
This could be a thing. Dave from Capshaw says, did you see the video of Mandami? I didn't. Oh, lifting weights.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was rather silly. I felt it was, Yeah. You know what? Beta males should not prove their beta maleness.
He couldn't even do one rep of 135 unassisted. I was doing 135 for reps when I was like 13. Like, I feel like, and most males were. Like, that is common. So, yeah, it was embarrassing.
Yeah, that's the place you went for your warm-ups.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Tom with all the kids, Tom with all the kids in Huntsville says, I took my company command in Bagram, and it was three times the size when I left in 2021. There was a plan in place to hold the country with minimal support, and it still breaks my heart. Yeah, Tom, you're right, man. Thanks for your service, by the way. And you are spot on, brother. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. I'll dive right in. I got some information on this whole situation with remembering Abby Gate. I got some stuff you might want to know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so let me jump on in here and just get into the topic, which we've kind of already been in, really. The Remember Abby Gate, that's what I called this dipper, and it's the same title that I gave to my monologue earlier. By the way, the monologue, all the resources, every day that we do this show, if you go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, there's a tab that says, you go to the live tab, go to today's show, any resources. If you hear me rattling paper, the link to that article is on there for you. If you hear my monologue and you want a copy of the script of it, it's on there. And by the way, that's not AI generated. I write those every single morning. Sometimes I wish I had not started that. But nonetheless, I do. And I do it to labor of love. But every day there's about a five-page monologue that gets created. And those are on the website for you, rightsidemedia.org. I wrote a piece that came out earlier this week. It's been published in several outlets already. 1819 News always gets the first run at it, and they put it out on Monday. I called it Flashpoints to War or Peace, and I will say this again as a reemphasis of something I said last week and in that op-ed, that I really do believe the bombing at Abbey Gate is a part of the flashpoint, if you will, of what caused Putin to believe he could invade invade Ukraine. And I think I said in there that the world watched in horror at the bombing, Vladimir Putin watched in fascination, because what he saw was a United States at the time that was not willing to protect its own, it was not willing to protect its allies, it was not willing to take a stand that was hard, it was not willing to have accountability, and it was not making good military decisions or foreign policy decisions. And basically at that point, Russia believed it could invade Ukraine and get away with it. Here's something to think about. Prior to, let's see, I want to say the Abbey Gate was, you know, was the bombing in Abbey Gate and the pullout from Afghanistan, that all happened in August. All right, so you had August, roughly time frame. August 26th, of course, is the anniversary today of the bombing at Abbey Gate. Just prior to that, in the spring, Putin had been posturing as if he wanted to invade Ukraine, beginning to moving troops, and there was a lot of world, you know, stage kind of geopolitical discussions. But Russia had actually pulled away. In June, Russia pulled its troops back. It was indicating that it was not going to go forward. The Abbey Gate bombing happened, and within 2 weeks, Putin's Russian and then Belarusian troops began doing joint exercises near the Ukraine border. They massed again almost six months to the day after the Abbey Gate bombing, Putin invaded Ukraine. I really do believe that a big part of what gave him the, what I call the immoral clarity came from watching the feckless foreign policy, the reckless military policy of the Biden administration, and then saying, you know what, why not? I got what? Three more years of Biden? I can do this. And so he did. I think he thought he would get it all done before there's any chance that Biden wouldn't get reelected. Amazing the Ukrainians held out like they have. That being said, I mean, we're not going to talk about Ukraine right now. I'm just saying that the end result of that bombing was not just what it did to the U.S. psyche and the loss of life and the complete, you know, demoralization of those of us who served in Afghanistan, watching all of it get just trashed. But then there was also what happened on the world stage. Putin saw it, and he seized on it. But so, yeah, yesterday Trump did have that ceremony right there in the Oval. And standing around the Resolute desk, there were Gold Star families from the Abbey Gate bombing. Gold Star families who, many of them said they've never even seen Joe Biden. Gold Star families who were incensed that not only was there no accountability, but, and I talked about the watch. Do you remember this? So wearing their masks because COVID was a big deal, you had the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of State, the President, the Vice President, all standing in a line as the caskets came off the plane. And my first thought was, well, they should. And then Biden, when the first casket came off, he actually pulled up his shirt sleeve a little bit, looked down at his watch, and then went back to standing there while they came off the plane. Can you find that video?
I can find that one probably, yeah. I'll just put up video now from the Trump
ceremony today. I didn't realize you'd done that. Those of you watching on the live stream, JP has just put up the video of yesterday's ceremony in the Oval Office, and members of the Gold Star families of Abbey Gate standing there with him, receiving ceremonial pins from the signing of the proclamation. That moment that Trump said, where is it? I've got it here in my article. I pulled this one, by the way, from Red State. RedState.com had a great write-up on this. During the ceremony, Trump said, he will never allow our military service members to be so betrayed, our friends to be so abandoned, and our credibility to be so betrayed. Or destroyed. I'm sorry. That's where it was. Pete Hegseth was there. He spoke. He said, upon the president's direction, immediately we have initiated an investigation which showed that there needed to be an even deeper dive. So they've already begun the investigation, and they're finding out more than they thought they would. I don't know what they're finding out. They're probably finding out that people were recommending not to do certain things. They're probably finding out that what General Milley testified to before Congress may not be entirely accurate. I don't know. I'm guessing. But Hegseth said it's a top priority for us. Why decisions were made, why they weren't made, why certain force protection measures were ignored. And he said that somewhere by the middle of next year, they expect to have this entire investigation complete. And a report of some kind coming out. And well, they should. Is that the video right there on the screen?
Yes, yeah. And okay. He will be momentarily checking his watch.
Yeah, there he is standing next to the First Lady.
First of all, he looks very pathetic there. Like, he could barely stay awake. He checks his watch.
I don't get it.
He checks his watch in such a manner of, like, trying to be slick with it.
And there he is, checking his watch. Goodness. Wow. While flag-draped coffins are being removed from the plane because of his inability to lead. I will say this. There's a piece from Heritage, the Heritage Foundation. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. This one came out actually 1 year after the events. So this is from August of 2022. And they were doing a one-year-later look back. And they said the whole ugly situation was created by an administration that seemed oblivious to the most basic principles of military operations. I kind of said that a minute ago, didn't I? He said the heroism and honor displayed at Abbey Gate can serve as a metaphor for the condition of our military today. It is profoundly too small for the task it is given. That's not off. I mean, they were stretched pretty thin. I'll tell you more about this as we wrap up this topic here in a few minutes. It's something else, y'all. What did it do to us? Well, it was a variety of things that it did to us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. Hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. Because it's always about the food. You know that. I'm wrapping up this topic on remember Abbey Gate. And I want to encourage you. I mean, this is worth remembering. This absolutely is something worth remembering. It is absolutely something that should be burned into the memories of anybody who cares a whit about military service, who cares a whit about our standing on the world stage, who cares a whit about what it means to be an America that stands by its allies, all of it. So Heritage Organization did a great piece on the Abbey Gate situation, the Abbey Gate bombing, 1 year after it was over. And it said that the heroism and the horror of Abbey Gate could serve as a metaphor. And it talks about how thousands of desperate Afghans were thronging outside the Abbey Gate. I don't know if y'all remember those images of people clinging to the planes. Remember that? I mean, you had thousands rushing into the gate trying to get onto the airfield. Like, I mean, you look at it, you thought, first of all, how backward? What were you going to do? You're going to run and catch the wheel of a plane and hope that goes well? But they did, and that was desperation. And then you watch people falling to their desks because they realized too late they couldn't get off.
I think they thought that was a better option than what the Taliban was going to do. And you look at Afghanistan now, and it's like, well, it's a bit of a disaster. Taliban running things.
The other day, they the Taliban already hate women. They subjugate women like cattle. I mean, I realize there's some old world stuff there. But I'll never forget being there and hearing this raggedy car coming down the road. There weren't many. There weren't a lot of cars around where I was at. It was like there was a lot of livestock on the street, just as much as were cars. But this raggedy car, and I looked over, and there's an old man driving this raggedy old car, and there's a goat in the front seat next to him, and there's a woman in the back seat wearing a burqa. And I thought, it went by, and I looked at that, and I looked at the guy with me, and I go, "Did you see that?" He goes, "I saw that."
That says it all right there.
Says it all. Women were just recently told, by the way, the Taliban have decreed that their voices are not allowed to be heard outside the home, so they have to speak in hushed tones in the home just to make sure their voices can't be heard. Just asinine. 1 year later, Abbey Gate, Heritage Foundation points out it was taxing in every way possible, and then it points it out. It was a physically taxing, it was psychologically and emotionally taxing, it was professionally taxing. Physically, yeah. The military, the guys there on the ground, they had to establish some kind of crazy sense of order in the dense crowds that were teetering constantly on the verge of rioting. I mean, this is all just, I mean, all while they're wearing body armor and carrying their weapons in the tension of being in a foreign land. Then it was psychologically and emotionally taxing. I mean, they had to literally deny pleading women and children and men screaming about their families any access if they didn't have the right paperwork. And then it was professionally taxing. Because they had to identify and evacuate people under this like constantly shifting criteria. The rules of engagement were muddled up, like I said. The window of time was fast approaching where they had to get it done. It was an impossible scenario. We put these guys in an impossible scenario. And oh, by the way, don't forget this. We actually relied on the Taliban for security. Do you remember that? We relied on the Taliban for security. We've been fighting them all this time. That's like defying any level of common sense. But yeah, the administration, it says, seemed absolutely determined to defy any and all, you know, principles of military operations. That airport, by the way, was only 26 miles away from where Bagram was. I mean, it wasn't like we were trying to set up something that was going to be, you know, hours away. No, it was 26 miles away. I've been there. I've been to both. I've been to Bagram Air Base, and I've also been to Kabul Airport. Kabul Airport, that's not a listen, unless you have time to build a fort around it, like we did for 20 years in Bagram, unless you have time to build the fort, that was not going to be a defendable site. It's not on the standards of like a U.S. airport, but it's still a civilian airport. That's what it is. Bagram Air Base, I've been there too. I've been to Bagram before it was in total build-up phase. But Bagram had everything you're looking for. If you're going to build a fort, you want to have clear fields of fire. You want to have a defendable position. You want to have access points that are controllable. You want to have the ability to guarantee the flow in and out of supplies. You want to have any number of, you know, sustaining points within the walls, like, you know, water and rations and all the things it takes to survive inside the walls. Kabul, none of that. And then it says, point out too, that Bagram could have been an evacuation base. It could have been big enough to do what was otherwise impossible for the limited number of troops that the Biden administration allowed to stay inside the country. All said and done, remember Abbey Gate? And I hope that we're going to wind up seeing, at some point, there be real accountability. I don't know what that means. Is somebody going to jail? Probably not. You don't usually send a general to jail because they make really bad decisions. Unless you can find out that somebody did an absolute, you know, colluded with the enemy or something like that, you're not going to see that. But what you could expect, I believe, is a series of reports that come out that show where the failures in leadership were, what the hinge points were that were missed, what the logistics should have been and that they were requested and then denied. I guarantee you're going to find that. Those are buried in somebody's email chains. You watch. Real quick, Jeff from Indiana says, how much you want to bet that Taylor Swift has him sign a prenuptial agreement? Oh, I guarantee. They both are.
I think Taylor Swift has a lot more to lose than Travis.
She does. I think it's probably true. But Travis Kelce, he's a Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl winner. And he had a pretty decent salary, I would imagine, didn't he? I know he was not like a star quarterback, but nonetheless.
Taylor Swift is like a god.
A billionaire, isn't she?
A god to the Swifties. Like, I've never seen anything like it, and it's really embarrassing.
It's on par with Elvis in his heyday.
Yeah, but this one is like a cult following I've never seen before. It's something else. I don't know what her Taylor Swift's net worth is, but I'd imagine it is quite a bit more than Travis Kelce's.
We just ran the gamut. We went straight from Afghanistan to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Mark from Tony, Alabama says, General Milley for Gitmo for the botched pullout. Jerry from Decatur says, now we know why Mamdani would be soft on crime. It's because he's soft on crime. Airborne. Okay. There's that. JP from Adam from Athens says, JP, talking about our audio. Yeah, we checked it out, Adam. Everything sounds good. Maybe just be on your end, buddy. David from Huntsville says, pulling the military before the civilians was a huge blunder. Yes. Why would you do that? That's the other thing. The non-combatant evacuations, the NEO operations, you do that first. You get the people out. You secure all the weapons that should not be left behind. You make sure that the Taliban has nothing, that they can use against you later. And didn't do it. Just abandoned it all and dropped it and came out. Adam from Athens says, can we just take them up in a plane and push them out? I'm not sure who you're talking to, but probably not. Just saying. Not the way we roll. All right, listen, we're going to come back in here a minute, and we're going to jump on to Dipper number two, which, by the way, if you're not following the White House on X, you should, because the White House just put up a meme, has Donald Trump leaning on the barrel, and the Cracker Barrel logo now says America First, and then it just says America's back, go woke, go broke. Good Lord, they are getting so trolled right now. Cracker Barrel does not even know which way is up. All right, take me to a break, JP. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.